I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. 4 long years later, the optimism of the Arab Spring has mostly turned to pessimism. Sure, Tunisia, where it all started, just held a peaceful election, but in other places where the Arab Spring took hold, like Egypt or Libya or Yemen, what started as a fight for freedom and dignity has descended into counter-revolution or all-out civil war. But giving up now would be a big mistake, says one Arab activist who just refuses to call it quits. The World's Matthew Bell has his story.
Ayad el-Baghdadi had a pretty good gig for himself in early 2011.
I was actually doing startup consultancy with media companies. And, you know, as soon as the revolutions kicked off, I did the honorable thing and completely ignored my company and completely ignored my clients and lived on Twitter for a few months.
And Baghdadi attracted a huge following. From his home in the United Arab Emirates, he was removed from the frontline action in Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya. So he translated and tweeted himself into one of the most followed social media activists in the Middle East. Baghdadi poked fun at Arab tyrants. He described himself as an Islamic libertarian.
Sometimes you have to step in and take responsibility. And I think Twitter and social media in general gave us this feeling of agency that we can make a difference. And, you know, if we speak, people will listen.
But Baghdadi's online activism eventually got him in trouble with the authorities in the United Arab Emirates. The UAE is a big supporter of the military-led government in Egypt. And by April of this year, the Egyptian leader and former general Abdel Fattah al-Sisi had become a frequent target for Baghdadi's criticism online. The activist was jailed in Abu Dhabi, where authorities presented him with a choice.
You can go to Malaysia if you want. But if you don't, you can just hang around here for another, you know, month or two or year. Yeah, I mean, this is why what I try to keep telling people. It wasn't my choice to go to Malaysia. I mean, they're telling you have a way out. In fact, they actually made me buy the ticket.
His status as a Palestinian refugee made things more complicated. In Malaysia, Baghdadi says he was held in detention for 3 weeks. The Palestinian Authority issued him a passport, and he was able to get a temporary Malaysian visa. But his wife was back home in the United Arab Emirates. She was expecting their first child. So Baghdadi went offline for a while, and with help from human rights groups, he started hatching a longer-term plan to find a refuge.
I'd imagine that, you know, I'd be in a condition or a position where I can actually talk without fear of persecution eventually, where I can actually pursue those writing projects, which I believe are very important, without any fear and without having to think 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times before I tweet something or say something or write something for fear of, you know, upsetting the wrong people.
Baghdadi arrived in Norway earlier this month. He's applying for political asylum for himself, his wife, and their infant son. Baghdadi is back on Twitter and says he's not giving up on the original promise of the Arab Spring, despite the grim reality in the region. Michael Wahid Hanna is a Middle East expert at the Century Foundation in New York. He says Baghdadi's voice is an important one at this moment in history.
The Arab uprisings have failed. I think there's no question about that. But it's important that people like Ayad continue their work and continue to not give in to despondency and utter pessimism.
Hanna says no one should expect Baghdadi to transform the Arab world on his own. He's not a political leader, and his views don't represent the mainstream.
Our expectations about what one person or one party or faction can accomplish are sometimes out of whack. But people engaged in earnest efforts to reform political culture are necessary precursors to something much broader happening.
Baghdadi says he's not alone. At 37, he considers himself to be a bit of an old-timer and part of a larger movement of Arab young people who still want political change. And that's because the old Arab autocrats, he says, have so little to offer.
Part of the reason why they continue to call the shots and to present themselves as, you know, as the de facto solution is because we, the Arab Spring youth, did not present a solution. And the moment that solution comes, believe me, the moment that solution comes, you're going to be surprised at how quickly that ugly facade comes down.
To that end, Ayad el-Baghdadi says he's looking to publish a book called The Arab Spring Manifesto, and he promises not to stop using the Arab Spring hashtag on Twitter. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.